Purusa Mordasva. Before I start, I just want to give a little nechama to those who may have it a little difficult to understand my English. But Chazal tell us that Devarim Hayotzim Min Halef Nechnosim El Halev. So it should be a little bit easier, even if you're not that proficient in English. I tell you the truth, I'm a little bit confused of what exactly I'm doing here. After seeing over Shabbos the caliber of the Kehillah here and the very, very fine people you have here, it reminded me of a story I once heard. A person wanted to take a trip across Europe years and years ago in a horse and wagon. So he hired a wagon driver with a horse. They get in the wagon, traveling a little bit, and they come to a muddy area. And the wagon driver says to the passenger, "My horse is an old, weak horse. I don't think he can pull the wagon through this mud. Would you mind getting out and help me push the wagon?" "No problem." Gets out, they push the wagon. A little while later, they come to a hill. He says, "I don't think the horse can make it up the hill. Would you mind getting out and helping me push the wagon up the hill?" And this goes on over and over again the whole trip. Finally, they reach their destination. And the man says, "Look, I understand why I came along, because I have a business trip I had to make. I understand why you came along. This is your parnasa. But why did you bring the horse?" I'm a little bit confused. Why do you need the horse? You have such fine people here. Why do you have to bring somebody from the outside? But that is the truth, is Klal Yisrael. In the Midbar also, they could have found a replacement for Moshe Rabbeinu when they thought that he wasn't coming back. They could have asked Aaron HaKohen to take his place. They had Hur. They had very fine people. What did they choose? An Egel Hazor. Because an Egel Hazor from the outside is better than Aaron HaKohen that you know from the inside. But the truth is that I do have a Maila here. Because I'm a Gogol. Now if that sounds Gaivadik, let me explain what that means. The Mediterranean Sea is a drop in a bucket compared to the Atlantic and Pacific. Yet it's called the Yam HaGadol. The reason it's called the Yam HaGadol is because a portion of it washes up on the shore of Eretz Yisrael. And about 31 years ago, I washed up on the shore of Eretz Yisrael, so I also can be called a Gadol. So if that's the case, then that is my Yichus here, so we'll use that as the Yichus of why I'm here. I want to first be Makiv Tova for those that brought me here and gave me a chance to see such a beautiful Kehillah. In the Midbar they had two Aronos. I also had two Aronos here that took care of me. Aaron Ryan and Aaron Green. And their Rebbitzins, Yafa and Gila, and I want to thank them and their families for their tremendous Hachnosis Orchim, and the Mirza Hashem will come to Eretz Yisrael, we will try to reciprocate. And I really am impressed with the Kehillah here. Sometimes people themselves don't realize what you have. And you need somebody to come from the outside to let you know how fortunate you are. There are not too many Kehillahs in the world, and believe me, I've been around the world, that can match the Kehillah here. Beautiful, beautiful Kehillah. And therefore, I chose to speak about a topic that is very controversial, Shalom. Very controversial topic. Everybody has their idea of what Shalom is. But I want to explain to you a little bit what real Shalom is, and what prevents it, and what the milas are of being in a kehillah and having a kehillah. People think that shalom is peace, quiet, nobody ever argues, that's shalom. People think that Shalom Bayis is a home where nobody ever raises their voice, nobody ever argues, everybody is quiet and serene. That does not describe Shalom or Shalom Bayis, that describes a cemetery. You know for sure that it's not your Shalom Bayis. In the winter, when the windows are closed, you could think it's your neighbor's Shalom Bayis. In the summer, when they open the windows, you know it's not theirs either. Shalom means shlemus. Shlemus means where people work together towards one common goal. Because nothing in this world is complete by itself except the Ribono Shel Olam. And everything else needs other things to be mashlim it, to make it shalom. Shlemus and shalom is when people work together, each one giving their unique part towards the common good. And those parts can disagree, and they can argue, and they can even raise their voice with one stipulation, with one condition, that everybody is concerned what's good for everybody and not what's good for me. If that's the case, then shalom can be even sometimes with arguments and even with fights. There's a medrash. The medrash says that David HaMelech wanted to build the Beis HaMikdash. In the pasuk, it seems to say that David HaMelech was not allowed to build the Beis HaMikdash because the Beis HaMikdash is a makom shel shalom. And yodecha domi molei, his hands were full of the blood of all the wars that he made. He wasn't an ish shalom. He couldn't build a bayis shel shalom. Shlomo HaMelech, kishmo kachu, he didn't have any wars. He never fought any wars. He was an ish shalom. He could build the Beis HaMikdash. The Medrash says, Pumfakir. The Medrash says that the Ribono Shel Olam told David HaMelech, if you build the Beis HaMikdash, it will be eternal. I won't be able to destroy it. Because you'll build the Beis HaMikdash that's Netzach Netzachim. And I can't do that. Because I have to have the option, if Klal Yisrael deserve it, I'm going to have to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, because if not the Beis HaMikdash, I'm going to have to destroy them. Kila Chamoso Aleichin Bavonim. So I need to reserve the option to destroy the Beis HaMikdash. They're not ready yet for a Beis HaMikdash that's eternal. The Pasuk is Mashma David couldn't build it because his hands were full of blood. And here it says if he would have built it, it would have been Netzach Netzachim. There's no contradiction. Because who did David HaMelech kill? He killed Rishoyim. He killed Rishoyim who would destroy the shlemus of the world. That kind of shalom is an active shalom. That kind of shalom can build the Beis HaMikdash that's eternal. Shlomo HaMelech only had a passive shalom. He never had to fight with anybody. So the shalom was menela. That kind of shalom can't build the Beis HaMikdash that's eternal. So shalom can even be when you have to fight for it. That's also shalom. Depends who you're fighting. It depends what brings to this world perfection and what does not bring perfection. This world is a world that perfection can only come for many, many things working together. That applies on every level of existence. Torah tells us that every day the Ribono Shel Olam saw what he created, Vayara Elokim Ki Tov. On the sixth day, it says, Vayara Elokim Eskol Asher Asa Vehine Tov Me'od. So the Sfarim asks, what transformed all these many good things into Tov Me'od, into very good? There was a lot of good things now. Why is it now Tov Me'od? So I'll give you an example to what his answer is. Take an automobile and break it down into its components. Separate it into its parts. Where I live, they do that often. So now you have a car that is strewn out on your lawn. A horn over here, tires over here, a motor over here, seats over here. Each of those components is good. It has a function. You could use the seats for furniture. You could use the tires for a float at the beach. You could use the spark plugs to make a fire. Each part has a function, and it's good. But when you put them together and they form a functioning automobile, That is better than the sum of the parts. That's very good. The functioning automobile is better than just taking the function of all the parts separately. So too says the Svarno. Each day the Rav Amram created something that was good. It had a function. But when everything worked together to make a functioning universe, that's very good. That's on the physical level. On the social level is the same thing. If everybody in this world would be doctors, we'd have a very healthy world. But who would take out the garbage? And if everyone were garbage men, we'd have a very clean world. Who would heal the sick? So you need a world where socially there are all different kinds of people, each one doing their tafkid, each one doing their thing, to make the world a more perfect place. But it doesn't only apply to the physical world, it applies to the spiritual world too. We pride ourselves that we receive the Torah that has tarig mitzvahs. There is no one in this world that could ever do tarig mitzvahs. Not because it's too difficult, it's impossible. There are certain mitzvahs that are only for Kohanim. So if you're not a Kohen, you don't have tarig mitzvahs. So what are you telling me? A Kohen has tarig mitzvahs. Not true. Because there are certain mitzvahs that are only for non-Kohanim. No Kohen will ever fulfill the mitzvah Pidyon HaBen as a father. It's potter from the mitzvah. There are certain mitzvahs that are only for men. No woman could ever fulfill those mitzvahs. And there are certain mitzvahs that are only for women. No man could ever fulfill them. In my lifetime, I'm hoping no man will ever bring a carbon yoledes. It's not a mitzvah for a man. So unless you are a Kohen Levi Yisrael, man and woman wrapped into one, which today may be possible, but under normal circumstances was not, you can't have tarig mitzvahs. So who is this tarig mitzvahs for? The answer is, we didn't receive the Torah as individuals. But we received the Torah ki'ish echad b'leiv echad. Like one united conglomerate called Klal Yisrael. And every part of Klal Yisrael has different mitzvahs. Together we have tarig mitzvahs. That's shalom. That's shleimus. And that shleimus is so important that the Rambam brings down the Gemara in Yevamos in the end of Hilchas Chanukah. Lo nitna ha-Torah ela lahavi shalom la'olam. The entire purpose of Torah is to bring shalom, shleimus to the world. The Torah brings perfection to the world. And it teaches each person how to contribute their unique part towards that shleimus. And therefore, Talmidei Chachamim, what is their function? Talmidei Chachamim marvin shalom ba'olam. Because they're the ones who bring that Torah to Klal Yisrael and to the world. And that's why, Lo Motzah Kadosh Baruch Hu Kli Machzik Bracha LeYisrael Ela Shalom. The keli, the environment that creates that ability to bring bracha to the world, the shalom, is that shleimus. And that's why Ashmona Esrei ends with Birkas HaShalom, and that's why Birkas Kohanim ends with Birkas HaShalom. That is the seal of all success and all the purpose of this world to bring to that shleimus. So what is that shleimus? Somebody once asked the Chafetz Chaim, wouldn't it be better if all Jews were exactly the same? They all dressed the same. They all had the same expression of language. They said O or Au or E or whatever, all the same. And they had the same minhagim. 1 minute. Wouldn't it be better, instead of the way it is now, they have this Eidah with their minhagim, this one with their minhagim, this one dresses like this, and this one dresses like this, and this one says Lashon HaKodesh this way, in a different way. It's too confusing. Now it doesn't say in the story which way he was referring to. I'll tell you which way, his way. Whatever he was, that's what he wanted everybody to be. The Chafetz Chaim said, why are you asking me this question? Go ask the Tsar why he has so many different divisions in his army. He has the infantry and the cavalry and the air force and the marines. Wouldn't it be better if everybody had one uniform, did one thing, everybody on the ground, everybody in the air, everybody in the water, one thing? Be much easier to take care of such an army. You know what the Tsar will tell you, said the Chafetz Chaim? He'll say, yeah, the army will be much easier, much more streamlined. I'll never win a war. In order to win a war, I have to cover all bases. So too, Klal Yisrael needs all different kinds of Yidden. All different kinds of Yidden that will be able to reach towards that shleimus of what Klal Yisrael is. So this Eda with their minhagim is mashlim, what another Eda has with different minhagim, and all together bring that perfection to the world. In fact, the Chafetz Chaim says on a Gemara in the end of Tainus, really Rabbi Akiva Eger said before him, and I always tell you that if Klal Yisrael would listen to this Gemara, it will be the end of Tainus. We wouldn't have to fast anymore. The Gemara says, Allah says, Lovo HaKadosh Baruch Hu Osem Mochol Tzadikim. The Rabbanu is going to make a tremendous circle, a dance for all the Tzadikim. And he's going to sit in the middle. And all the Tzadikim are going to point, Zeh Elokeinu Kivinu Lo. Says the Chafetz Chaim, Lechora, that doesn't sound like Olam Haba, it sounds like kindergarten. Everybody dancing around, the Ganenet in the middle. What does it mean? He said, what it means is the following. In this world, there are all different kinds of tzaddikim. There are people who learn Torah and do chesed and avodah, but their emphasis is on Torah. They also do chesed and they also daven, but the emphasis is limud haTorah. Amongst them, there are all different kinds of limud haTorah. There's this derech halimud, a litvisha derech, and in the litvisha derech, there's tells and there's mir, and there's all different kinds of drachot. And then there's a svarisha derech, and a poivisha derech. All different drachim. Within those drachim, there's some people who learn be'iyun, and some people who learn be'kiyas, some people learn halacha. All different kinds of learning. Put them all together, you have hundreds of different possibilities of different kinds of learning. Then there are tzaddikim who emphasize chesed. They learn and they daven, but their emphasis is chesed. And there are all different kinds of chesed groups. The people who deal with almanas and with yisomim and with aniyim and with sick people, all different kinds of chesed groups. And then there's people who emphasize avodah. They also do chesed and they also learn Torah, but their emphasis is avodah. And some people daven this nusach and a different nusach, and some daven low and some daven loud and some daven slow. All different kinds of avodah. Put them all on a gigantic circle. And there are tzaddikim on this part of the circle who are 180 degrees from a tzaddik on a different part of the circle. Completely different drachim. As long as your 2 feet are on the circle, not everybody's feet are on the circle. There are drachim which are not on the circle. That are not neman, the Torah Shebichsav, and Torah Shebal Peh, the Shlosh Yisrei Korim, and don't have any Mesorah. We're not talking about that. We're talking about people whose 2 feet are on the circle. They're neman to Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh, and they have a Mesorah from Anoshim Gedolim. So this tzaddik over here thinks that his derech is the only one, and everybody else is somewhere, who knows where. But Lashon Lava, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to put them all in a big circle, and he's going to sit in the middle, says the Chafetz Chaim. And they're all going to realize that all of the drachim from the circle, no matter where you are, as long as you're on the circle, all the drachim are equal to the middle. All the radii of the circle are equal. Somebody once told me even more than that. It doesn't say that the Rebbe is going to make a circle. It says he make a dance, which means lost in love. Everybody is going to dance around and come to everybody else's derech and experience it. In this world, a person has to have a derech. Can't have a little bit of this, a little bit of that. You have to have a mesorah. You have to have a derech. But lost in love, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to let everybody taste a little bit of everybody else's derech, so they'll see that all the drachim are equal to the middle. As long as a person knows that he's keeping his Mesorah, he's keeping his Minhagim, but all of the Minhagim create that Shleimus of the circle, that Shleimus of Klal Yisrael. So why doesn't Klal Yisrael look like that? Why don't we look like that in this world, where everybody realizes they're on one circle, everybody together, everybody's derech is a legitimate derech as long as you have both feet on the circle? Why does everybody mavakel everybody else and think that we're the only ones that exist? And everybody else is person, but for the most part. So Mishnah Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah says, Hakina v'hataiva v'hakovo motziin yasa'odim min ha'olam. There's all different shotim there, which olam these things take a person out of. Kina, taiva, and kovo. Some say from olam hazeh, some say from olam haba. I think maybe it means something different. Kina, taiva, and kovo, the motziin yasa'odim min ha'olam, it takes a person out of the chevra, takes you out of society. You can't be a contributing member of society if you're a balkina, a baltaiva, or balkava. Why not? What's kina? Gemara says, rekev atzomos kina. Pasuk in Mishle. Rekev atzomos kina. Kina rots your bones. So you can understand it simply, but Chazal say it means something different. It means what you want, you won't get, and what you have, you'll lose. It's not an onish. Kina means I'm not happy being me. I'd rather be somebody else. And therefore, I want to be him and have everything he has. Sholo, v'chamoro, isho, beso, everything. And the driving force is I'm not happy being me. I want to be him. And I want to be him with everything he has. A person who doesn't feel they have anything to contribute. They don't realize what their kochos are, what their kishronos are, what their abilities and capabilities and talents are. So what you want, you can't be somebody else. Impossible. What you want, you'll never get. And what you have, your mileage, you're going to lose because they're going to atrophy. Because if you don't use them, then you lose them. So a person who's about kina doesn't appreciate what he has to contribute to the cloud. He's never going to contribute anything. And he's not going to be able to be what he wants to be because you can never be somebody else. That's about kina. About taiva, Shlomo HaMelech tells us, L'taiva yivakesh nifrat. People who are bali taiva have one thing in life. What's in it for me? Bottom line, what am I going to get out of this? And they want the whole pie for themselves. They're not willing to share with anybody else. If you're not willing to share with anybody else, you can't be a part of society. You can't be part of that shleimus that comes from a team effort, from people working together. And even though there are titles that a person can't get unless he uses other people. You want to rob a bank. So you need a lot of people to work together. Right? You need the person who's going to explode the safe, and the person who's going to drive the getaway car, and the person who's going to be the lookout. I never robbed the bank. I'm not exactly proficient in how it's done, but Mustafa, that's what you need. But there, the people are not cooperating with each other. They're using each other. The raya is that when they finally get the money, they kill each other off till one of them gets it. You can't be a contributing team person, a person who works together with others, if you're a baltaiva and you want everything for yourself. And the same thing goes with kovod. Somebody who wants all the kovod for himself is not going to share with anybody else to get any of the kovod. So a bal kovod can only work for himself. He can't work with other people. Could be for that reason, Chazal say, that if you see three things in a dream, you should expect shalom in your life. What are those three things? And I'm sure tonight everybody's going to dream about these three things. And you should know it will mean nothing because you've been thinking about it. But in any case, those three things are the following. A river, a bird, and a pot. Those three things in the dream represent shalom. Why? I was thinking perhaps the reason is the following. A river counteracts kina. What's a river? A river has tremendous power. You can run a hydroelectric plant with water power. Tremendous power. But as long as the river stays within its boundaries, it's very, very powerful and very positive. But once the river overflows its boundaries and goes somewhere where it doesn't belong, it becomes a flood and very destructive. Learn from the river not to be jealous. Recognize your talents, your abilities, your capabilities, what you have. Don't try to go and get what somebody else has, because then you become a flood. So the river represents the opposite, the negation of Kina. The bird. Chayodim says that kovet comes from the word kaved, heavy. Person, when you have to give kovet to somebody else, you should consider them important people. Person's mechabed his parents, he should consider his parents important people. People you can't push around. In America, in the 1960s, the word heavy did not refer to how much you weighed, but refer to something important. That's a heavy idea. He's a heavy person. Meant he's important. Meaning, in Yiddish, erfanem ten ort. Can't push him around. He's important. A person who thinks that he's so important, inflexible. You want to go around me. I'm not moving for anybody else. That kind of person can't be a part of society. He's all to himself. The bird is the opposite of that. The bird is very light, flexible. You want to go in the tree, the bird will go on the ground. You want to go on the ground, the bird will go into the tree. A bird is the opposite of kaved. The opposite of kaved is a light, flexible thing. You want to be about kaved, you're not going to move for anybody. You want to be like a bird, you'll be flexible and able to move for anybody. And lastly, the pot. The pot counteracts taiva. About taiva has one consideration. What is in it for me? Bottom line, what am I going to get out of this? And if I don't get anything out of it, I'm not interested in doing it. If you have fire and water, so if you have a lot of fire and a little bit of water, the fire will boil away the water. If you have a lot of water and a little bit of fire, the water will put out the fire. Fire and water can't exist together. But if you put the water in a pot and put the pot on the fire, then the pot enables the fire and water to work together to make cookie. What does the pot get out of it? Burnt. Nothing. Sometimes you have to be a pot and be able to bring people together and make them be able to function together even though you get nothing out of it. Maybe black and burnt. That's all. So the pot counteracts taiva, the bird counteracts kovet, and the river counteracts kina. But even more than that, what really is the reason, the cause, why Klal Yisrael can't look like the Chofetz Chaim says, the Asid Lovel, we're going to look, a big circle, with everybody together, everybody realizing that they can have their derech, and respect somebody else's derech. Why? The Kotzker Rebbe said two things that I want to put together. First thing he said it in Yiddish, I'm going to say it in Hebrew, because in English it really sounds ridiculous. But we'll say it in Hebrew at least. He says like this, Im ani ani, mipnei sha'ani ani, v'ata ata, mipnei sha'ata ata, אז אני אני ואתה אתה. אבל אם אני אני מפני שאתה אתה, ואתה אתה מפני שאני אני, אז אין אני אני ואין אתה אתה. What does it mean? If I'm me because I know who I am, and you're you because you know who you are, then you have an identity and I have an identity. I'm me and you're you. But if the only reason I know I'm me is because I'm not you, I don't know who I am, but I know I'm not you. And the only way you know who you are is that you're not me. You don't know who you are, but you know you're not me. Then neither of us have an identity. Because a negative identity is not an identity. If the only way I can identify myself is by knowing who I'm not, that doesn't make me have an identity. And then the Kotzker said the following. The Gemara says, Binyan Na'orim Stira Ustira Zakenim Binyan. Simple meaning, when young, foolish people build, sometimes their building is destroyed. And when Zakenim, wise people, knock down things, that in itself could be building. That's the Parsha Pshat. Says the Kotzker, it means something else. Binyan Ne'orin. You know how foolish people build themselves up? By knocking other people down. You can make yourself higher in one of two ways. You can build yourself up, or you can knock everybody else down, so you stay where you are, but everybody else is lower now. So you're built up. Ne'orin build themselves up by knocking other people down. And Zakenim knock the people down who have to be knocked down by building themselves up. That's the difference. Unfortunately, to a certain degree, we live in a world where we don't know who we are. And this here is one great exception. Because you know who you are. You have a Mesorah, you have Minhagim, you have a Rav who leads you. It's a Yotzim in a cloud, but most of the world, people don't know who they are. The way we educate our children, unfortunately, is not so much to teach them who we are, but who we're not. We're not them, and we're not this, and we don't do this, and we don't do that. So they don't know who they are, but they know who they're not. That's not an identity. Mela, the only way they can build themselves up is by knocking everybody else down. Because they feel threatened by everybody else around, because they don't know who they are. And the only way they know who they are is by who they're not. So if they knock all those other people who I'm not, that gives me an identity. Many times, we can only identify ourselves by chitzonius. How we look, how we dress, what kind of shirt we wear, what kind of yarmulke we wear. Rabbi Tversky, in one of his books, tells a story of a person who only knew who he was because of his clothing. And he was afraid if he'd go to the mikveh, he'd forget who he was. Came Erev Yom Kippur, he had to go to the mikveh. So he said, you know what, I'm going to take a red string and tie it around my finger, loosely, so I can go with it into the mikveh. And this way I'll remember who I am. I'll look at the string, I'll remember who I am. He goes into the mikveh, the string gets off his finger and gets twined about somebody else's finger. Comes out of the mikveh, he's looking at this guy with the red string on his finger, thinks, he says, look, I know who you are, but who am I? We laugh, but unfortunately, that's the way it is to a certain degree. When I first came to Eretz Yisrael, so since I was an American, so everybody I came in contact was trying to pull me to be part of them, because over there it made a big difference who votes where or whatever. So it's important, you know, whose side you're on over there. So one person pulled me aside and told me the following. They said, you should know here it's different than America. Here in Eretz Yisrael, anybody who wears a black yarmulke is anti-Israel, anti-social, anti-just about everything in the world. I said, that's really interesting. Just putting on a black yarmulke changes your whole view of the world? It's hard for me to believe that. Well, they said, it's true. You'll see. It's true. Okay. That's one person. Then one of my children came home, about 9 years old, came home from Cheder. And he tells me, Tati, my Rebbe told me something very important today. He told me that anyone who wears a knitted yarmulke, a kippah sruga, can't be a Yirei Shemayim. I said, why not? He said, because the Yirei Shemayim escapes through the holes. I didn't want my son to think that that was a cloud gadol, that what yarmulke you wear makes you a Yirei Shemayim or not. But I didn't want to contradict his Rebbe either. So I said to him, Shlomi, last week I was in Meir Shorim, and all of the Toldos Aharon Chassidim, the Baruch Chassidim, were big white knitted yarmulkes. I can't believe that not one of them is a Yirei Shemayim. He said, no, maybe there's exceptions. I said, Shlomi, let's leave it like that. Maybe there are exceptions. Maybe the yarmulke does not make you a Yirei Shemayim or not. It's what's under the yarmulke that makes you a Yirei Shemayim. But that's the way we are. I always find that if that's the case, that's what Klal Yisrael is, and everything is judged on the chitzonius, then people should not daven by the Kotel HaMaravi. That is not the most kodesh place in the world. The most kodesh place in the world is my dry cleaners, where there's a lot of kodesh clothing without human beings in them who do chatoy. It's interesting. If you want to know what achdus is, the yontif in the year, which is the foundation of Achdus, is Purim. Purim is Shalom V'Reyes. Some Sofer says that's the reason for Shalach Manas, to create Achdus, Shalom V'Reyes. Isn't it strange that Purim is the only yontif in the year that all Yidden don't celebrate on the same day? Some celebrate on the 14th and some on the 15th. What kind of Achdus is that? But that's Achdus. Achdus is not being able to tolerate somebody doing the exact same thing you do. Achdus is being able to work together with other people who, for the same reason, you're keeping the 14th, they're keeping the 15th. But I can keep the 14th and you the 15th. No, we're keeping it for the same reason, from the same Anshei Knesset Hagdola, and that's Achdus. That's real Achdus. Ad Kedei Kach. Once I was impressed with this idea of what Shalach Manas is on Purim. When I first came to Eretz Yisrael, our Ganenet was a Moroccan woman who had a very difficult life. She was married, she didn't have any children, she got divorced, she got married again. Finally she had a Bechor. It was a tremendous simcha. So she wanted the entire Moshav at that time was about 11 families, so it wasn't a great big deal. She wanted to come to the Bris. We all went to the Bris, was in Yerushalayim. And then they had a Pidyon HaBen. The Pidyon HaBen was in Kiryat Gat, which to me at the time was the end of the world. I didn't have a car to get to Kiryat Gat. I didn't know where it was. It was a big schlep, but she begged me, please, give me the covet of coming to the Pidyon HaBen. So I went, but before I went, one of the people on the Moshav who had been in Eretz Yisrael already for a few years told me, be very careful when you go to that Pidyon HaBen what you eat. I said, why? I know the woman, her standards of kashrus are impeccable. What's the problem? He said, don't do a kashrus. They're Moroccans. And Moroccans love to eat hot, spicy foods. You're an American. Even though between a Morokai and Amerikai is just a little olive, but there's a very big difference between what you could eat and what they eat. Be very careful. So I went there, and I went over to the Balabasta, to the mother of the baby, and I said, look, I've been warned that you Moroccans like to eat hot, spicy food, which is not for me. So I wanted to ask you a favor. I'm going to look over to you at the beginning of every course, and if this is food that you think is very, very spicy and hot, point down like this, and I'll know not to eat it. So there's no problem. We invited you as an Oreach Kavod here, and we know that you Americans don't like hot, spicy foods. We made everything bland in your honor. Nothing is spicy. No spices. So I felt good, and felt also they're all probably upset with me because they have to eat food that's all bland because of me. But in any case, okay. So they served the first course with some fish with some red sauce on it. And I see everybody's eating it like it's water. So I put a mouthful in my mouth. Immediately I felt my tongue disintegrate. But my reaction was to swallow it, and then I felt my esophagus burning up. And I saw my whole life, this is not exaggeration, it's not a guzman. I saw my whole life go before me. I pictured myself dying in a few minutes after all my kishkas are burned out. I saw my poor wife and children, them shipping my body back to Matityahu. I must have drunk a liter of water on the spot. And they're all looking at me, aval zeh tafel, it's bland. I learned from that two things. Never trust a Moroccan. And the second thing, everybody has a different taste in food. What one person thinks is bland is not bland to another person. That's Shalach Manas. Everybody has their minig and mesora of a Purim Suda. I guarantee you, an American Purim Suda is not the same thing as a Swiss Purim Suda. And a Swiss Purim Suda is not the same thing as a Hungarian Purim Suda. And a Hungarian Purim Suda is not the same thing as a Moroccan Purim Suda. Completely different. But for Achdus, you have to be able to take two things from somebody else's Mesorah and put it into your Suda. You don't have to change your Mesorah, but you have to be able to tolerate at least two things from somebody else's time. That's what Achdus is. That's why Purim is the Yontif of Achdus, even though Yidden don't celebrate it on the same day, and they don't all eat the same food. That's what real Achdus is. And that doesn't mean that everybody has to say, fine, whatever you do, you know, it's fine, it's not true. There's also Tochacha. Without Tochacha, there's no Shalom either. Any Shalom without Tochacha is not Shalom. No Derech is 100%. It needs to be corrected. I have to correct myself, I have to correct other people, but not because I'm a bat of them, but because we're all on that circle together. And what you do makes a difference to me, because it affects me too. And what I do makes a difference to you, because it affects you. And only when we work together and each of our drachim as perfect as possible, can Klal Yisrael reach perfection. So I have to give you Musar and Tochacha, and you have to give me Musar and Tochacha. And I have to give myself Musar and Tochacha, in order to see that my derech is as perfect as possible, because then my derech can be contributed to you, and your derech can be contributed to me, and together we can make Klal Yisrael what is most perfect. So having a tzibur, and having a kehila, and knowing who you are, what your mesorah is, where you come from, and you have a rich mesorah here, very rich mesorah, makanei. Even though I also come from the Tel Aviv Yeshiva, which also had a mesorah. But this mesorah is much, much deeper. And it's something to be proud of, because you know who you are. You know what your minhagim are. You know where you stem from. So why are there people who don't want to be part of a tzibur? So Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, not going to help. The Rebbe Shalom obviously likes you, and your tefillahs have been answered, and I'm getting harder and harder to talk, so I'm not going to be able to go on too much longer. The Mishnah says, Hillel Omer, Al Tifrosh min Atzibur, Ve Al Tamin Ba'atzmecha Ad Yom Moscha, Ve Al Todnes Chadercha Shetagilim Komo, Ve Al Tomer Al Dover Sheef Shar Lishmoa Shesofo Lihishoma, Ve Al Tomer Lichsheefne Eshne Shemelosipone. Very nice Mishnah. Hillel said five things. Don't be perished from the tzibur. Don't believe in yourself until you die. Don't judge other people till you come to their place. Don't say on something that can't be heard that it will be heard. And don't say, when I have time, I'll learn, because maybe you won't have time. All very nice things. What do they have to do with each other? Hillel said five things. Why all these five things together? And therefore, Lanias Daiti, I think that Hillel only said one thing. Hillel said, Al tifrosh min atzibur. Don't separate yourself from the tzibur. And then he gave four answers to excuses why people don't want to be part of the kehila, don't want to be part of the tzibur, don't want to do their part. First reason. People say, I don't need a kehila. I don't need a tzibur. That's for weak people. People who need peer pressure, need a support system. I'm strong. I don't need a kehila. And that Hillel said, Al tamin ba'atzmecha ad yom moscha. Everybody needs a kehila. Everybody needs a tzibur. Everybody needs a support system. Everybody needs peer pressure. You can't do it on your own. Impossible. Al tamin ba'atzmecha. Second reason people say they don't want to be part of the tzibur. I would love to be part of a tzibur. I just haven't found a tzibur that's fit for me. They're all no good. This one's no good and that one's no good. Why in the world would I want to be part of a tzibur of all these bad people? And that Hillel said, Al todnes chadercha et tagil im komo. Don't stand on the outside and passel everybody. First get close. See these people close up. Sometimes you may be right. Close up they may be worse than they were from far away. But most of the time, it's not like that. Most of the time when you get to see people from up close and see who they really are, Yidden are finer people. So don't pass on the tzibur from afar. Third reason, the people don't like to be part of a kehila or part of a tzibur. They say, you know, I tried to be part of the tzibur and I gave them such good advice and they never listened to me. So why in the world should I be part of a kehila of idiots who don't want to listen to good advice? On that, Hillel said, Al tomer al dover she'i efshar lishmoa she'sofo lehishama. Don't say, you know, I know I'm always right. And in the end, they'll see I'm right. Maybe it's something that's efshar lishmoa. Maybe you're not right. Maybe advice isn't good advice. Don't say, in the end, they'll see I'm right, because maybe you're not right. And maybe the reason they don't listen to your advice, because it's not fit to be listened to. So a person who thinks he's always right, and what he advises is always they're going to see in the end I'm right, he can't be part of the tzibur, because the tzibur can't listen to everything you say, because not everything you say is right. And lastly, people say, you know, I'd love to be part of a tzibur, but I don't have the time. I have to spend time with my family. I need time to learn. I need time to do mitzvahs. I don't have time to waste on a tzibur. But Moshe Feinstein paskens that just like a person is chayiv to give meiser of his money to others, he is chayiv to give meiser of his time to others. That's also part of your nechosim. And therefore, Hillel said, Al tomar lichshef ne'eshne. When I have time, because I won't be involved with the tzibur, so I have all this extra time to learn. Don't say that, because Shem Elo Sipana, do you think the Rabbanu Shalom will let you use time that you're stealing from the tzibur to be able to use for yourself? He'll find other betalim, other things to battle you, and not be able to use that time if you're using it at the expense of the tzibur. So Hillel said one thing, Al tifrosh min hatzibur. But people have all different kinds of excuses why they don't want to be part of the tzibur, why they think it's okay to be Polish min hatzibur. And Hillel answered them one by one. Along the same lines, the epitome, the paradigm, the dogma of machlokes shelo l'shem shamayim is Korach. Korach, machlokes shelo l'shem shamayim, which is the opposite of shalom. Shalom is machlokes l'shem shamayim. Different people doing different things, not arguing against each other, but arguing with each other. I have my day, you have your day. Let's work it out and see what's the best thing to do. Not where I want to be right or you want to be right. We want to do what's right. That's the ultimate shalom. Each one doing their part, different than the other, together, to bring to that shleimus. Chazal darshan the names of Korach to show the shoresh, the root of what machlokas shalom l'shem shamayim is. And once Chazal darshan the names, we could also darshan the names. Korach comes to the Lashon Kereach, a person who considers himself bald. He doesn't consider that he has anything to contribute to the tzibur. He doesn't realize what his kochos and kishronos are. He doesn't appreciate that everybody is unique and everybody has talents, abilities, and capabilities that they can contribute to the tzibur. A person who's a kereach has nothing to give to a tzibur and therefore he's not part of the tzibur. And then there's the Yitzhar. Yitzhar is Shemen. Some people think they're like oil. They always rise to the top. They can't mix with other people. They're too big to be part of the tzibur. They're too chashuv to be part of the tzibur. They can't lower themselves to be part of all these other common people. So if you're a Yitzhar, you can't be part of the tzibur either. And then there's Kahas. Kahas comes to the lashon of Kihui. Being acidic, negative people. People who only see the negative about everything. This is no good, and that's no good, and this one didn't go good, and they only can criticize. never say a good word, never have anything constructive, but they know how to complain. They know how to, what's wrong with this and what's wrong with that. Those kind of people can never be part of the tzibur. They can stand afar and criticize, but they can't ever do anything constructive together with the tzibur. And then there's a levi. Levi means an escort. Some people love what the tzibur does. It benefits them. There's a lot of people working hard in the tzibur to do tremendous things for the sake of the kehillah. They don't want to work though. They just want to get a ride with somebody else on somebody else's work. They want to be a levi. You work, and I'll get the benefits. A person like that can't be part of the tzibur either. You can't just be an escort. You can't just be somebody who goes along for the ride. You have to also do something to help other people also. So those are some of the reasons why people don't want to be a part of a kehillah or can't be part of a kehillah. And if we work on ourselves, and everybody recognizes how important it is to be part of the kehillah, how important it is to contribute to the kehillah and the melech to benefit from the kehillah, how important it is for everybody to need that support system that a kehillah gives, and to appreciate the mesorah that the kehillah represents, to know who you are. Who are your Gedolei Yisrael? Who are the mesorah that you follow? Where do you stem from? Where did the minhagim come from? And the more you appreciate who you are, the more you can appreciate who other people are and not feel threatened by them. And work together with other kehillahs also. And not only identify ourselves by how we dress, how we look b'chitzonius, but to look much more, in a much more meaningful way, at being able to see all other yidden and be able to see how we can work together. Kehillahs work together. Countries work together. That's what the Achdus of Klal Yisrael is. That's why the Torah says, "Vayehi b'shu'in melech." When is the Rabbanu Shem really a melech in Klal Yisrael? B'hisaseif rosh ha'am yachad shiftei Yisrael. Only when there's Achdus in Klal Yisrael is the Rabbanu Shem really the melech al Klal Yisrael. There's an Orach Chaim HaKadosh, and we'll end with this, who says, he brings down a Zohar. The Zohar HaKadosh says that even one kehillah could bring Mashiach. One kehillah that works on itself, that's ma'ached itself, and contributes to the perfection of Klal Yisrael, just that perfection of one kehillah, in that schus Mashiach will come. One kehillah. I always like to say, Matityahu is a nice small place, so maybe it's not so hard for us to work on ourselves. But after being here, I see that we have competition. And a kehillah like this, with such fine people, with such a fine rav, people who know who they are, and people who are neman to their mesorah, you have an excellent chance of being that one kehillah. We're going to try to be first. But if you work real hard, you may beat us out. And Amir Tzashem, that's what all of Klal Yisrael wants. So Amir Tzashem, if we work on that Achdus, we work on that Shlemus, then Amir Tzashem will see the day when Yi Hashem LeMelech Al Kol HaOretz, Bayom Ahu Yi Hashem Echad Ushmo Echad, B'Vi Yaskul Tzedek Meir of Yomim.